Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
I'm Jizz Chisholm. I'm Jizz Chisholm. I'm Jizz Chisholm. I'm Jizz Chisholm.
That's great.
I'm Jizz Chisholm. I'm Jizz Chisholm.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
That's great.
Yahweh. What's up, Fudge Packers? Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm Adam, and you're in.
And this is Steve, and I'm going to eat a bunch of oranges today.
Hey, if you loved Christmas oranges, well then get ready for Christmas oranges take two, except I'm not eating any Christmas oranges.
Part two. This guy, Adam the First.
Thank you.
Talk to me all week about how he wanted to get to 100 oranges by Christmas.
Can't wait.
And, he doesn't have any oranges.
Well, I didn't think we were serious, but I'll tell you what. Here's the thing. I ate 28 oranges last week. You ate a measly 12 oranges.
Uh-huh.
So go ahead. Go ahead and eat your oranges on this episode. I guarantee you, you're not going to eat 16 oranges on this episode. So I'm not even worried about you catching up to me or anything like that. I'm still, I said I was going to set a solid pace to start things, and that's what I've done.
Uh-huh.
So next week, I didn't realize we were serious. Next week, I will be buying oranges, and then we'll be kind of back to even, and I'll crush you again. No problem. No problem,
yeah.
Son.
I will take this lead, and I definitely need it, because you are very competitive when it comes to eating challenges, if you want to show up.
I'm very competitive when it comes to really important things like who can eat the most Christmas oranges on your podcast. Merry Christmas oranges to you, by the way.
Merry Christmas oranges to you, and Merry Christmas. It is going to be Christ's Day.
Yeah.
And I haven't said Merry Christmas once, I don't think.
Well, no, thanks to the war on Christmas, we no longer are allowed to. The Christmas Gestapo will come and take us away and throw us in a Christmas gulag, and that'll be the last of us.
Christmas gulag sounds great. Like, that sounds like a resort or something.
Yeah, it sounds delicious. I would love to eat a big bowl of Christmas gulag. He's already peeling his first orange.
Yeah. Well, there's no rules this time.
No
so
rules.
I'm just going to start, and I'm just going to hammer down these oranges. And there goes number one.
Oh, he ate it. He domed it. One, straight to the dome. Bubby, I'm so impressed with you right now. If you can eat 16 Christmas oranges on this episode, I will drive to your house and personally feed you the 16th Christmas orange live on this show.
I can't fill the air for that long. That'd be crazy.
You're going to have to fill the air for 20 minutes or so. That's no problem. You can do that. You can vamp.
I'm also going for, like, a fancy dinner after this. Like, a really expensive fancy dinner. Like, you gotta make reservations, and, like, wine is $18 a glass type fancy.
Yo.
So
well, then
this is gonna taste really good.
I wish you would have kept that information for us until the end, when we knew how many Christmas oranges you finally ate. For you to
well,
eat.
Well, it's number two right now, so damn. Here we go.
He did. He domed it. Oh, my God. Hey, before you dome too many Christmas oranges, we have to do the Pure Boys prayer.
Mm-hmm.
God bless
our podcast.
I'm making him do this with a mouthful of orange.
God bless all podcasts. We love you. There was a lot of that orange still in my mouth, so...
Yeah, the second you put it in there, I was like, okay, time to start the prayer. Gotta get him with a full mouth.
I came in ready to party.
You did, and damn, dude, I'm really impressed with your gumption and gall. Well, congratulations. You're a beautiful man, and you deserve nothing but the best.
Well, I think we're both beautiful men, which is why we look exactly like each other.
That's correct. That's correct. We're the OGs, the original men, Adam and Steve.
Yeah. You don't make two different looking people at the start.
No. Just do it. It's made in God's image. And God went, they're fine. They're fine to start. It's great. Same man. See,
yeah, and I have a cushier spine and a looser butthole, but that's it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's all true. And that's all in... That looked like orange 3, eaten whole. Hey, How did you feel after last week's episode?
I felt amazing.
Me too.
I had some pizza.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's fair. I felt fine that night, and then the next morning, I took the biggest dump I've ever taken in my life, and I was like, that's a big one. That's going in the book. And then about an hour later, I took the second biggest dump I've ever taken in my entire life, and I was like, well, that's a lot of fiber right through me, so felt great.
Yeah. You need some fiber. You need some Mucilix.
Well, of course. My scurvy cleared up. My rashes are gone. I feel amazing. I feel like King Kong right now.
Yeah, that was probably the number one thing for me was the scurvy. Getting rid of that was nice.
Yeah, it was. Here in Haiti, you know, it's tough. It's tough to find vitamin C around here. We got lots of D, but no C, you know?
Yeah, we got all the D in the world. Can't get enough C. We're pretty good on A.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're all left in the A. Oh, yeah. Hey, I want to share with you a video that I made.
Video that you made.
Yes, I made this video. It's about 9 seconds long. It'll be fine for the audio listeners, but I think you'll just enjoy seeing the whole experience, Adam. So, or you're Steve. I'm Adam. So here it is. He just ate his fourth
orange.
That was
four.
All right, this is a video that my wife took of me after we went to Haiti Costco. So, so
can't wait to see it.
Here we go. I like my hot dogs the way I like my men. Big wieners and soft buns.
Oh, just like me.
That's you, baby, yeah.
We both have the same size wiener, but I have a softer bun.
Exactly, yep. And that it was my gift to you. I was giving love to my first love without letting everyone know, you know.
Oh, I can't believe you had a Haiti Costco hot dog. I've been just aching and boning for one, you know?
I had two.
You too.
Yeah.
Dos Locos.
Yeah, and we're going back this week to do some Christmas shopping. We could get more. I'm going to have more of them.
That's what you get there. People talk about their pizza. Get a pizza and cook it at home. When you're at Costco, treat yourself to a hot dog.
Yeah, of course. They're $1.50. A hot dog, a drink. Leave them the cups. Go, I don't want your fountain soda. Keep the cup. I'll just take the hot dog. It's fine. That's all I need.
You don't like fountain soda?
I'm not a big soda man. I'm a water man. I love a nice cool water. So, but you know, a sip of soda every now and again is fine. It's just I need a little sip just to remember my childhood. You know.
I like the fountain sodas more so. I don't really do bottled or canned sodas anymore. There's too much carbonation in those bottles and.
Cans. Tell me about it. If only we could measure carbonation over the years, and then we'd really see how much they're trying to hose us now. Most of a can of pop is carbonation at this point. There's barely any soda in that can.
Like, take our two dingers and put them together, and that's how big the hose they're hosing us with.
Oh, it's a fire hose as far as I'm concerned. Is this your fifth orange?
Yeah, fifth orange.
This week, we're talking about the 2012 Kevin Sorbo Classic Christmas Angel. And if we're watching a Kevin Sorbo movie, then we got to do a little something first. We got to do everyone's favorite segment.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
Kevin Sorbo, we love to watch you come in, and we love to watch you leave. Especially at 1:50 p.m. on December 1st, 2021. So Kevin Sorbo feeling a little frisky. Afternoon dumps aren't always fun. You're probably in the middle of your day. It's just not a great day to have them, and they're usually like greasier. You know, they got like they're tackier at that point in the afternoon.
I don't want to tackier. You're right, but yeah. I hate you because you're right. Yeah,
yeah, you hate me because I'm right. Mm-hmm. What Kevin Sorbo had to tweet at this time is, what's sad to me is Fauci could come out today saying that consuming food in smoothie form prevents COVID and some of you would pull out your blenders. Period.
Oh, hey, well, proper grammar. That's very good.
I like to put a period at the end of the tweet, you know?
Well, so that people know that your tweet is done. And they're not going to wonder, oh, is there going to be a second tweet, a follow-up to this? No, no, no. This is my full thought. Full stop, period. Hard. That's...
Very much so.
That's a good tweet, but it's not as good as the tweet that I retweeted of Kevin this week, which is, LeBron James is a wimp. He got him.
I mean, yeah. There was so many juicy ones, and there was probably better ones than this one.
No, that's a good one. Kevin's not wrong in that regard. Some people just want to make smoothies, you know? Some people just want to watch the world smooth.
And he's a doctor, so you do kind of want to listen to him about this sort of stuff. But, yeah, he sucks. Smokey sucks.
Are you talking about Dr. Kevin Sorbo?
Yes.
A doctor of Christian sciences?
Is he a doctor of Christian sciences?
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him, that's for sure. I also
he
wouldn't...
should get...
If Bill Cosby can have, like... a doctorate, like an honorary doctorate, why can't Kevin Sorbo get one from, I don't know, a Mennonite university or something?
Did they take that away from him, or did they say keep it? Don't worry about it.
They were like, yeah, just keep it. You know what?
Yeah.
You've had it. You've been representing our school for so long, Cosby. You just keep it. It's all good.
Yeah. It was the Cosby keep it.
Yeah, classic Cosby keep it. Yep, that's right. Yeah. Well, Kev, great tweet as always. Never stop, never stopping. You're a beautiful man with a beautiful soul. And
never stop milk.
Never stop milk. Get those. Get your poops less tacky. How about that, pal? Less cleanup.
Yeah.
When it's less tacky.
More milk will untacky your icky.
Exactly. How many oranges you on?
This is number 6. I took 5 a little slow.
That's fair. God, he's really pushing. You only have to eat 11 more oranges, like including this one, to catch me. I think you can do it.
See, I came out the gate hot, and I was feeling really good about myself, and I could get to 16 today.
cocky.
But the fact that we're not competing really is, and I'm going out for dinner right after this.
Don't worry about that. That's inconsequential. That last one is not important at all. But the fact that we are competing... Here, you say we're not competing, but we are competing. I got a bye week. I did so good in the first round that they went, you can take the second round off. Don't even worry about it. You've set quite the lead for yourself. So the competition is still going. We're still trying to get to 100 each, I should remind you. Not 100 combined. We're talking about 100 each. I'll see you next week on the battlefield, pal. I guess we only have one more episode left before Christmas. Like... it's this episode and then the next episode and then Christmas happens. So I guess I shouldn't have taken this week off. I guess I should have eaten like 72 oranges in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, next week's going to be a rough one when I have to eat 72 Christmas oranges. I don't know if I can do that.
I don't know if you can do it either, but I'm on 7.
Okay, well,
and
that's nice.
I feel good.
Well, good. I'm glad. Should we?
Yeah,
Should we change it so that we eat 100 oranges collectively?
Yeah, maybe. That sounds good to me.
That sounds better, right, than me having to eat 72 oranges next week? I don't really want to do that. 28 was a lot, and I can't imagine eating like 46 more. That just seems absurd. Yeah. Oh, just watching him eat.
This is pretty dumb.
Hey, folks, this movie sucked. This is gonna be a short episode, I think, because honestly, I barely watched this movie. Let's go, let's God. Christmas Angel was a stinker.
This one's a dud. Do not see this movie. I wouldn't even let your kids watch it.
No, I would not see this movie.
Lemons, yeah.
Thank you. That's a Kevin Sorbo classic. Thank you for your service. Hey, this movie is a PureFlix original, which is why it's so heartbreaking that it's not very good, because it's our boys. You know, David Ayer White produced it. His name's in the credits. That's so exciting. But
and I want to see a good Kevin Sorbo movie. I want him to just press it up against me and show me what he's working with.
Bro, then we got to watch... Eventually, we're going to have to watch the God's Not Dead quadrilogy. So, eventually, we're going to have to watch all of those.
I feel like he's going to be just as wooden and terrible in those as well.
Well, he's only in the first one. And then David Ayer White takes over and goes, oh, by the way, I'm the main character of this series. Me, David.
David Ayer White should be Hercules. And they should come out with a new Hercules. Or Pureflix should do Hercules.
See, David Ayer White should play the new Hercules. And then they should have him face off against Samson. And they could do a Hercules versus Samson movie. I think that would be pretty cool.
That would be really cool.
Like Blind Samson after he was crushed by the rocks and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Or the temple, sorry. Not just rocks. The whole friggin' temple.
Yeah, the temple came down on him because he was so strong.
Yeah, exactly. But Hercules never brought a temple down on himself. Sure, he completed some trials, but none of those trials were bring a temple down on yourself. Couldn't do it. He was a coward.
He was truly a coward.
Thank you. Hey, this movie has a pretty stacked cast. I mean, the only reason we watched this movie, I didn't know it was a Pureflix original before we watched it. I don't know if you did.
Had no idea. Hand to God.
Pleasant surprise, yeah. But when we were looking up movies to watch, we saw Kevin Sorbo, so we're like, all right, already our interest has peaked. But then we also saw Della Reese. Have you ever seen Touched by an Angel and Della Reese?
I love Della Reese. She's the best.
Yeah, talk into the mic.
Well, I was trying to do two things at once.
That's fair. And who else we got in this movie? We got Tamara Mowry. Ooh.
Oh, one of the sister girls?
Not,
heck yeah.
Yeah, one of them. Not Tia. The other one.
No, Tamara.
Tamara, yeah. One of the Twitches. My wife and I at Halloween watched Twitches because my wife loves witch movies. And not great, but we watched it. It was great.
We watched Twitches too.
Twitches 2 or Twitches?
Well, we watched Twitches as well.
Next year, we should get together and watch Twitches 2.
Really get into it too.
T-O-O.
Maybe do it for the pod.
Hey, maybe. We've watched movies farther removed from Christianity. We can get away with it.
And now Tamara is in the universe.
Exactly, that's the thing. We don't have Tia, but we've got Tamara, and that's half of them, so good enough.
Oh, yeah, definitely good enough.
Like, Tamara in this movie is just, like, has her own agenda the entire time. Like, she's doing her own thing. There's people, like, having breakdowns and, like, confessing really serious things to each other, and she's in the back being like, oh, damn, that boy's cute! And you're like, I don't... When he's telling about how his marriage fell apart, maybe don't, like, thirst after him that bad. Also, you're married in this. Don't thirst after him at all. What are you doing?
I really don't see a point for her to be in this movie. She just, like, pops in and is bubbly and doesn't follow the tone of the movie and is barely a mother to Oscar.
To Oscar? I thought his name was Lucas.
Lucas, Oscar, same thing.
It's all the same, yeah. So this movie just steps on the gas. And I was like, oh my god, this movie is going to be like, oh, is a lot happening all at once. And then quickly dies off. Like, just starts off really strong and then just lays a big goose egg after a certain point.
Well, you start off with an orphan and you start off with him wanting a Redline D600 bike. Yes. That is cool.
Very cool. And he keeps saying, if only I could get a Redline V600, but I know that's impossible. Because we find out that what he's doing is reading his assignment of answering the question of, what is my impossible Christmas wish? Which seems like such a cruel assignment to give kids. Especially when you know some of them are orphans, some of them are on welfare. And to be like, some of them have drunk dads with no job. And just go, what's your impossible wish? I hope none of these are depressing.
Hey, orphan, what do you want for Christmas that you definitely won't get? Ooh, tough.
Well, I love that the main girl, whatever her name is, I watched this whole movie, I couldn't tell you what the main girl's name is. Do you know?
Olivia?
Yeah, that sounds right. Sure, why not? So Olivia, I love that, like, her and Lucas are walking home afterwards and they're talking about the orphan, and she's like, he didn't really want that bike. He should have wished for parents. That's what he should have wished for parents, but he was too embarrassed to wish for parents in front of the class. It's like, that's digging some leaps in logic there, kid, but kudos to you.
She's very concerned with parenting. She wants her father to not be drunk and crappy, or alive. I don't know.
Yeah, there's like, this movie is all about granting wishes to people, and it just, you just kind of get lost in the sauce after a while. Like, I didn't know what the hell was going on at parts of this movie, so I don't know. But Kevin Sorbo's at their school. He comes into their classroom. He hugs their teacher, and they're like, "Who's that guy hugging our teacher?" And Lucas is like, "None of our business. Who cares?" It's like, well, I don't know. He knows her clearly. They're smiling and hugging.
Lucas is very matter of fact. He wants to move on with his life. He doesn't care if his teacher is hugging Satan. He just wants to go home and eat his beignets.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, he loves beignets. He loves beignets as much as Kevin Sorbo loves reading a magazine called Cancer Discovery. Like, that's not a spoiler.
I didn't clock that. That's the only thing I didn't clock.
Oh, he was tucking it into his bag when the kids came out of the classroom. Real.
I'm surprised it wasn't a Time magazine with Kevin Sorbo on the front, and it said "most interesting cancer treater in the world,
hunkiest dude." Also, he cures cancer. Oh, he's a what we'd call a catch, ladies.
Is he though?
No, he's a total dud. Couldn't even keep a wife. What a dud!
Well, he doesn't have the her.
No. Yeah, we do find out that Kevin Sorbo has two wrinkly raisins in between his legs that ain't got nothing in them. And I was eating raisins while I was watching this movie.
Oh, that's why you said raisins.
Because I was thinking about all the wrinkly raisins I shoved in my mouth earlier, yeah.
I'm eating number 9, by the way.
Golly, Bob Howdy, that's great. We better make this a quick episode so you can't catch up to me. I'm a little scared. You only have to eat 7 more. I should have bought oranges.
I'm gonna eat 20 freaking oranges right in front of your face.
I hope you do, because then it gives me incentive to absolutely wreck your life next week.
Who's the man now, dog?
Hey, you know what? I wish that there was a house that I could go to where I could throw rocks at it and make a wish, and if my rocks break the windows of the house, then my wish will come true, according to Lucas's mom, based on a movie that she saw one time, I guess.
Well, if the windows are boarded up and it looks, you know, decrepit, throw rocks at it.
Yeah, throw
That's
rocks at it.
That's fun for kids.
It doesn't matter how run down the outside of the house is. There is a pristine condition nursery on the second floor. So don't even worry about it.
If you get the nursery, you get bonus points. Especially with those puny orphan arms.
Yeah, if you and your malnourished skinny orphan arms can huck a rock up through a second floor window and break the mobile hanging over the crib of the baby Kevin Sorbo never had, then your wish will definitely come true.
You know what? From now on, every single Christmas movie, if there's a kid in it, it's an orphan. I don't care if it has a parrot right in front of your face. It's an orphan.
I thought you said a parrot. Like, well, I don't. I do care if there's a parrot right in front of your face.
Yeah, I care about that.
I got a friend named the Hershey Dunker who would be very scared of a parrot flying at your face. So, we meet Olivia's mom, who's a real Fokker, as far as I'm concerned. Do you recognize that?
Isn't
Fokker?
She a Fokker?
She married into the Fokkers. You bet, Mrs. Fokker.
Okay. Oh, yeah, she's Miss Fokker.
Yeah, hey, Fokker. Yeah, she says that all the time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so Olivia Fokker and her mom, Big Dumb Fokker, are living next door to this decrepit, rundown house where no one lives there, so they think, and that's the wish house where you throw rocks at it and your wishes come true. Stupid kids.
I mean, in all fairness to the mother, she is trying to get her daughter to not do this.
Barely. She's just like, hey, please. You're literally right next door. I can see you from the kitchen, but I'm not going to stop you from hucking rocks at this house. I'm just going to go,
yeah,
please
and
don't.
She is more concerned about college football.
Well, exactly. Those Tigers, the LSU Tigers, they're the best. And this everyone in this podunk dumb town loves the Tigers.
El Tigre,
baby. I love that Olivia asks her mom, like, what would you wish for? And her mom's like, I wish for the Tigers to win. I want them to win the championship. And Olivia goes, you wouldn't wish to be rich or famous or married? So, ooh, roasted you, mom. Not married. Yeah. Loser.
This whole movie is Olivia calling her mom a loser for not being hooked up
for
to a man that doesn't drink his sorrows away.
And just, like, chucking wieners at her wherever she can find them. Like, just any port in a storm, Olivia's like, will you be my dad? Hey, substitute teacher, will you be my dad? Janitor at my school, will you be my dad? No. There's a doctor right here. He's a hunk.
But that substitute teacher is groovy. I could get cushed by him, if you know what I mean. Like, he likes college football and everything.
He loves the LSU Tigers almost as much as Belinda does, aka that big dumb old fucker.
Oh, Belinda me hard.
Oh yeah, fuck me, Poppy.
I'm peeling 11.
Wow, how you feeling? You're looking tired. You're sounding tired. You sound like you're slowing down.
I'm tired today in general, but I'm definitely slowing down. And get to that stage where I just want to, like, dig a hole in the ground and frick it, you know?
This guy has eaten almost as many oranges as he ate in the entire episode last week in the first 27 minutes of this one. What a beast. What a king. Yeah. You dropped your crown, king. Pick it up and fix it.
I made some different changes this time around. I made sure mentally I was meditating all day from sun up to right before we recorded, which I told you about.
Sun up or nut up, yeah.
Yeah. Pray up. But I also made a different orange change, and these ones are easier to peel and way less sweet than the previous ones. So, you're going down good. I think I'm going to stop at 12, though.
No. Catch me. Catch me. Ooh, catch me if you can.
I don't think there's any way in heck that I could eat 28 oranges in a single podcast.
No, but you could eat 16 in this one, and then you'll have caught me. We'll both be at 28.
Oh, do I just have to get to 16?
Well, I assume that that's what you were doing. Because, like, well, no, if you want to be winning, you could eat 17 and then you'd be ahead of me. But if you eat 16, then we've both eaten 28 Christmas oranges.
So this is 11, so that'll be easy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're almost there. This movie is filled with really sad lessons from people. Like, the mom, Belinda Falker, says to her daughter, look, we can be content with what we have. We need to learn to be content with what we have. That's such a sad thing to tell your daughter. Like, no, don't reach for the moon. Just be content with what, not even happy, just content with what you have. Just be neutral towards your life. That's the best you can hope for. Good lessons.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're in middle America somewhere. There's no way but down. So just be content with what you have and go straight.
Yeah, remember these moments because your life is going to get gradually worse from here. We live in middle America. There's no industry. Yeah. There's nothing out here. We're barely scraping by. I work in a wedding shop. I bake cakes. That's what I do. And I'm barely getting by.
She does live in a mansion, but...
Yeah, but it lives in a mansion next to, like, a derelict, rundown fire hazard. So that neighborhood value is very low. If there's a boarded-up house that's been boarded up the entire time they've lived there, then I think they bought their house for a song from the sounds of it.
Yeah, probably. She looks like she has tool strength.
For sure. Yeah, calloused hands from just turning wrenches all her life, for sure.
Fixing up houses. That she has to buy dirt cheap.
Oh, well, exactly. I do love that somebody comes in to talk about their wedding and, like, their plans with Belinda Falker, and they're like, I bet you were cool as a cucumber on your wedding day, to which Belinda replies, oh, well, I'm not married. And the woman goes, oh. Like, just, like mortified. Oh. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. She's not married, and she's helping me with my wedding. I don't trust her. Neither would I.
Never trust a person like that. Are you kidding me?
Oh, never trust a woman.
Well, it's hard because we were two men for a long time.
Mm-hmm. For millennia.
Yeah. We were just sitting there for a bit. It was white space and mm-hmm. God would talk to us. And we kind of went mad for like 1,000 years. And then he started, okay, I'll create the universe for you.
Fine. Here's the universe. Stop living in the white void. Here it is. He did it all for us, for the Nookie, as he called us. We were called his Nookie. He loved us, and he did it all for us.
But he did leave us for 1,000 years in white space.
Yeah, he was busy, though. You know how many angels he was splitting in half up there? He was so busy. He had to get the population going.
Yeah. One of our first words or phrases was split them in half. Because God, that's what God talked about constantly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would come down. He would come into the white space with, like, a towel slung over his shoulder and a water bottle, just being like, well, guys, I've split him in half today, I gotta say. And you're like, you go, God. And he, he'd towel off his sweat, and we'd laugh and have some locker room talk, and then he'd fly back up again and just get splitting like a lumberjack.
Yeah, the first room ever created was a bathroom, because God loves being in a locker room bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that's his favorite place to split, is in a bathroom.
He didn't even consider making other things other than locker rooms.
No,
that was going to be the entirety of the universe.
People don't realize that, like, a Blumpkin is the most angelic way to be intimate with each other, because that's how God prefers. He loves it in the bathroom. So if you... people don't realize that giving your partner a Blumpkin brings you closer to God. That's a fact that's in the Bible.
Tile is very sexual. It's very fun to get down on Tile.
Yeah, God loves to see someone walking around, come out of the bathroom and walking around with red marks on their knees. That's what God loves to see.
Yeah, he loves a red knee. So if you ever writing a letter to God, and it's not about praying.
No. If you're ever writing him a letter and not praying, put unclasp your hands for this and clasp a pen.
Yeah, clasp a pen, send it to God.
Mm-hmm.
You got red knees too.
Yeah, send him a picture of your red knees. And send all your pictures of your bathroom red knees to pureboyspod@gmail.com.
I don't know if we want that.
Or tweet at pureboyspodcast on Twitter. Send us all your knee pics. We want to see them.
If you are sound mind and body and over the age of 28,
no.
Send us your skin.
Okay, fine. Yeah, all right. No, I'm fine with that. I can live with that. That's fine.
Yeah, you're okay with that?
Sure. I mean, it's safe. It puts a nice buffer between us and illegality. So it's like, I feel much more comfortable knowing that all the women and men sending us their knee pics are over the age of 28. So good looking out on that one.
They're 100% going to be male, and they're going to be from people we know.
Yeah, I'll be able to name both of them, and I know exactly who it'll be, and here are their names.
Both of the knees?
Well, all four of them. I could spot a knee from a mile away.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? That stupid poor orphan got his dumb bike. He got the Redline V600, and he's riding it around town. And all I could think was, like, I hope that kid doesn't get hit by a car to balance out karma. That's feels like a recipe for disaster that he got this bike somehow, magically. Real monkey's paw, you know?
There was a monkey's paw. It was in the background, and it did curl up when Olivia made the wish for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was hanging on to the back of his car and putting its fingers in the spokes, so it sounded like a motorcycle when he was riding around. Yeah, exactly. That's
I know how to motorcycle.
Hey, you're a biker boy in my heart. So I love that Olivia's like, we can't let the word get out about the wish house, because then everyone's going to be going and wishing, and also throwing rocks at a house. And then one kid overhears them, and then the next scene is just like 15 kids just hucking rocks at this house. That was a very funny cut.
There's a full montage of different groups of kids throwing rocks. at this house, and some people get their wish and some people do not.
Well, we find out that a lot of kids, including Olivia, are making tons of wishes, and so far, two wishes have come true. So, not a great trade-off. Like, it doesn't, you know, it's like you made 1,000 wishes and 2 of them came true. That's still exciting, but those aren't great numbers, I gotta say.
Those aren't great numbers. God was probably fricking somebody in a...
Yeah, splitting them in half in a truck stop bathroom.
Whatever.
Yeah, for sure, in the laundromat bathroom. Any bathroom. Any bathroom that you can find.
Well, once he created more spaces, he realized you can put bathrooms in those too and still have as much joy.
Hey, every building needs a bathroom. That's a, that's a beautiful song.
Every floor needs a bathroom.
Oh, yeah, you bet it does. Every bathroom needs some tile to redden up those knees.
Should we send that to Garth? That's a good cowboy song.
Every floor needs a bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. And if anyone could do it justice, it would be Standing Outside the Fire's Garth Brooks.
Yes, please.
I love when when the kids are throwing rocks and kids are yelling like, "I wish for a bike, I wish for an animation," and then one kid just yells, "I wish for shit," and he just like hucks rocks. He doesn't care.
Yeah, and then a pile of shit comes down on him.
Well, and I also love the idea. We find out that Kevin Sorbo owns this house, so I love the idea of him going in and there's just rocks. The interior is just full of rocks from kids just throwing them through his windows.
Eventually, though, like, there's glass back in those windows, so it's all good.
Yeah, well, he knows that, there's a lot of wishes that need to be made, but you break a window once, most of that glass is then gone, so you gotta replace the window so that the next kid can have their wish come true.
Very much so. He's very concerned about the wishes. Kevin Sorbo is a saint of a man in this movie. He's so fluid and hip and cool with everyone.
Yeah, he's so depressed and moody and mopey and preachy. He's my favorite. He's the best. And also his character's like that too. Gotcha.
I feel like this is probably his acting style. It's just not caring that you are there. He seems like he doesn't want to be anywhere.
And he's also like very cool. In all of it, like he never gets like flustered. He never gets embarrassed in a scene. He never gets made a fool in a scene. He's always in control, and that's what I love about K-Sorbs.
Yeah, he's calm, cool, and collected.
Yeah, exactly. He's a calm, cool, collected cat,
and he always wears denim. He's full on denim.
Oh yeah, denim top to bottom. That's his look, and I gotta say, he wears it well.
Well, his butt looks good in denim, and I think Del Reese told him it at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, your donk.
So it's just throughout.
Your donk looks good in denim. You got a donk made for denim, Kev.
Have you ever been complimented on your package while in pants or sweats?
No. I've only been complimented on my mustache, and that was by men. So, No, I've never gotten a compliment from a woman before, or most men.
Like in a mall, and like a lady like points at your dinger and goes, "Ah, nice one."
I mean, no, I mean, when I was a kid, I sat on Santa's lap, and he was like, "Oh, you got a package for me," and I was like, "I gotta go." But other than that, that's pretty much it.
I gotta grow up. I gotta go.
Oh, childhood over. It's time to grow up.
Yeah. Hands you a T4.
That's right. It's time for taxes, son. That's what you're getting for Christmas. Audited. Oh, my lemonade stand. It was Kool-Aid. It wasn't lemonade. Hey, did you notice the dog sound effect in the background of this movie? How, like, anytime people were outside, they just played the same dog bark, like, over and over and over again in the background? It was the same bark the whole movie. It was incredible.
I swear sometimes there wasn't a dog around. Like, sometimes, like, they were like, "Oh, it's outside. You got a great noise, dog bark."
Yeah. I saw one dog in this movie, and that's when the second wish comes true and a girl gets an allergy-free dog or something like that.
Oh, one of the girls gets a grandma.
Oh, yeah, one of the girls gets a grandma. I forgot about it. Yes, three wishes come true. Well, there's a whole montage of wishes, but I was too busy doing other stuff to watch that. So,
It's easy to check out in this movie. It's such bland candy.
Oh, it's such a yawning snoozer. But then there's like, then there's stuff like this where the mom, where old Falker goes, whenever God is going to do something crazy, the angels show up and tell people not to be afraid. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Don't forget that angels in the Bible are like nightmares. They're like burning wheels of spikes and eyeballs and feathers and like, they're not people. They're these unimaginable horrors appearing before you going, do not be afraid. You're like, my whole reality is shattering.
Well, that's because God was fricking them on the tile.
Exactly. That's what a split in half angel looks like. They do look like people, and you split them in half and they become these monstrosities after that, like these things, you know?
Yeah, you gotta spike them after a while because they're so split in half.
They're so split in half. Full spoilers for the end of this movie. There are no angels in this movie. There's no heaven in this movie. This is a very down-to-earth movie, but you don't know that for the first little bit. So when Kevin Sorbo was out skulking around the house, I was like, is this guy like the angel of death or something? Like, he's reading about cancer. He's hugging people that he may or may not know. He's skulking around outside of abandoned houses. Maybe this guy's like the angel of death. Turns out he's just a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. He only appears at night. He's trying to frick Olivia's mom, but he's also too afraid because he's alone. Mm-hmm. And he's sad.
He's 1,000 years old. He's a Vlad the Impaler. He's an immortal beast who only appears at night.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's around glowing things a lot.
Oh, he loves glowing things. And we'll get to some real glowing things later on here. First we have to meet Della Reese, who plays an old lounge singer or some kind of thing. And when we meet her, Olivia goes, are you an angel? To which Della Reese replies, do I look like an angel to you? And I wrote down, comedy! Real comedy in a movie. Serious humor.
And Olivia goes, yeah, kinda.
Yeah, I mean, you're old and you're wearing white, so... Yes, and
she's like one of the most famous angels in all of television and humanity.
True. Name a more famous angel than her.
Della Reese.
That's Della Reese, and then Doc Brown from Angels in the Outfield. Those are the top two most famous, and John Travolta when he played Michael. Those are the three most famous angels.
Man, I can't wait to get to Angels in the Outfield.
Man, I can't wait to get to Michael. We have to watch Michael. It's a ball about an angel.
I haven't seen it since I was like 8 when it came out. I think I watched it in theaters, and it went over my head a lot.
Yeah, I bet you didn't know what was going on the whole movie.
I was wet, but like I didn't know what was going on.
I watched that movie for the first time like a year ago. Like, I only saw Michael as an adult, and for the most part, I enjoyed it. I kind of checked out near the end, but when he's dancing with those cougars in the bar, that's a good time, and, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff in that movie.
That really should have been the whole movie, is him, you know...
Dancing.
Western dancing.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. There's lots of great movies. We could watch Phenomenon, too. There's lots of great John Travolta movies we could watch. That one where he's like...
Phenomenon, too.
Yeah, we could watch the movie where he's like a race boat captain who delivers drugs in Miami.
Battlefield Earth? That's pretty religious.
Absolutely, based on the Church of Scientology. We could definitely shoehorn that in. No problem.
Mm. Anything's really about God. We're all under his umbrella of light.
Exactly. So that means that whether you worship Xenu or some other god with a lowercase g, it's all under God's banner, baby.
Painted fingernails or not, you know?
Yep. Olivia's impossible Christmas wish is a husband for her mom. And the teacher is just like, good. This is all really good. This is like a really healthy assignment for all these kids. I really love it. I'm doing a good job. I'm a good teacher, is what she keeps saying to herself.
And not all of them go in the same day, so there's like one or two a day, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. They like cram them in at the end of the school day from the looks of it. Oh, crap. Yeah. Hey, read your depressing thing. We got 5 minutes left in class. Read the depressing thing that you're never going to get.
It's probably just good wind down time for the teacher, you know? Like, you do your thing. I'm barely going to listen. I know who's smart and gets an A in this class.
Yeah, and it's not going to be the kid wishing for a bicycle, that's for sure. That kid's getting an F.
Yeah. He doesn't even have any parents.
I know. What a loser. He's so stupid he can't even beat cancer.
Get a dinger, buddy.
So, somehow, Kevin Sorbo awkwardly gets, like, invited to dinner with Olivia and her Fokker mom. And everyone gathers for dinner, and there's a water jug on the table that is just filled with diarrhea from the looks of it. And I don't know what that jug is about. I don't know why there's a jug of diarrhea in the middle of their delicious-looking dinner table.
I think it's gravy, but it's in, like, a jug for juice.
Yeah, like
you don't put gravy.
Yeah, it's in a glass, like, a glass jug with no handles or anything, so you'd have to touch the hot gravy glass if you're going to pour that gravy out. And it looks like diarrhea. And it's like they've poured it into this jug, but the jug, like, narrows at the top, so there's just, like, diarrhea remnants all around the, like, inside of the glass above where the water or the fluid line is, so it just looks disgusting. Like, it looks so unappetizing.
Good gravy does look gross.
Good gravy.
The best gravy I had looks disgusting. I also was kind of checking in and out by this time in the movie, and I swear I heard somebody say gumbo, so I'm just primed to see a big, juicy pot of gumbo.
Oh.
And everybody has a bowl and a plate, and then it's just like pulled pork and peas and carrots and stuff.
Yeah, it's diarrhea soup is what they're having. Delicious.
And then one of the guys puts the pulled pork in his bowl.
Lunacy. These people have never eaten before. They must be angels because they don't know how to engage with earth practices.
16.
Are you kidding me? You really? That's 16.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Hey, what's the special dinner? Is this a special dinner or just like, is this a big family thing or is it just you and your wife? What's going on? Can I come?
No.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's cool. Well, I hope you have a great fucking time. How's that sound?
I don't know. We're just going out for supper. It's the season. Date night, you know?
Yeah. That's cool. Hey, I got a phone call. I got a patient who's dying, so I gotta bounce, I guess. I gotta go leave.
Well,
this
you
dinner.
Are a doctor, so you're one to go out.
I'm Dr. Adam. Medicine woman, and I got a patient. I do love that what's her name, old Fokker, is like, hey, Kevin, are you married? And he's like, oh, I gotta go. See you later, guys. I gotta go. I don't want to be here anymore.
And everybody can tell that he didn't actually get an emergency call.
Yeah, he doesn't honor his neighbors. He commits the sin of lying in front of them, and they all can smell it on him that he's a sinful man.
He does have a lot of sin, not a lot of sperm.
No, none. Like I said, wrinkled raisins. Old Dr. Davis Wrinkled Raisins is his full Christian name. And he's just got, he's all hat, no cattle, as they say.
Oh, very much so. He has a big head.
Yeah, and a short shaft and no balls. So he's all cap, no shaft. That's what they say.
No balls.
No balls on him. All cap, no balls, you know?
Oh, man. I'm sorry, Kevin Sorbo. If you were hearing this, you'd probably... We're talking about your character.
Yeah, we're talking about Dr. Davis. We're not talking about Kevin Sorbo. We're talking about Dr. Davis played by Kevin Sorbo. If I can watch Terrence Howard in Empire and everyone's talking about what a great lover he is and what a big dinger he has, but I know he's got a micro-pee, It's not going to break immersion for me. I can still talk about Lucius Lyon's big old dinger on Empire without remembering that, oh, Terrence Howard, he's, you know, a microman. It's suspension of disbelief. Acting is what it's called.
You got to think he's a grower, though, because you got to have confidence coming out of your pores if you're an actor.
I don't think he's a grower. Well, we've talked. We've thoroughly discussed Terrence Howard's micro pee. And we're sorry. Can we talk about the saddest scene in the movie where Olivia's Fokker mom is trying to open a jar of jam and can't open it? So she's trying to make PB&J sandwiches, but she can't open the jam because she's a weak woman. And then Olivia goes, "Mom, I don't want jelly. It's okay." It's like, that's the saddest thing I've ever seen in a movie. So sad.
They don't even try, like, getting out the knife and, like, tapping the sides. They just, like, she hugs her child and they cry together and soft, loving music comes up.
Mm-hmm. When I say a weak woman, I mean mentally as well as physically. Didn't even think to run that jar under the hot water in the tap or something, or get one of those rubbers that you use to grip the lid. There's a million solutions. Use a dish towel or something. Don't just try twice and then go, "I guess we're never eating jelly again. I'm so sorry. You'll never taste jelly until you're an adult and can buy it for yourself."
Another reason why there needs to be a man in this house. This movie's smart, you know. It's really underlying the motif of the movie of parenthood.
The light motif. How many oranges is this?
This is 18.
Oh my god. I don't believe you. I think you're lying. I think you've padded your numbers a little bit, pal. I don't believe this is 18.
I have the peels.
I want to see him. I want to see him before, when we wrap up. Show me your peel when we're done.
And these ones have come off one at a time, so I'm... Yeah, I'll show you my peels. That's how we'll finish this podcast today. All right,
okay.
I'll count off peels.
Count off peels. That sounds great. Della Reese, turns out, is the person who's been, like, making these wishes come true. She bought that kid a bike and was like...
Yeah.
"I know how to use the internet, and I know how to use a credit card. Lord, do I know how to use a credit card." And again, sad, but good for you. No one likes a bragger.
She does know how to use the internet. I like the first, like, real interaction between Olivia and Della Reese. And she's like, "Can I come in?" And Della Reese just like, "No, no, you cannot." Like, "Well, can you come out?" "No."
"How are we supposed to talk then?" And then Della Reese goes, "I guess come in."
Whatever.
Whatever.
Shut up.
Shut up, Della Reese. I was really hoping that at the end of this movie it was going to be revealed that Della Reese wasn't an angel, but was in fact Mrs. Claus. That's what I was really pulling for. This was a low-key Santa Claus movie, a Christian Santa Claus movie.
Well, they try to play it like she's dead, like she is actually an angel. She can never turn on the lights. Mm-hmm. It seems like she doesn't function with electricity.
She's 1,000 years old. She's Vlad the Impaler.
And she goes missing mysteriously, like 6 months earlier or something. I thought she was dead.
I was hoping so, but instead she's essentially grandmother, just someone who was wronged in the past and never got over it and lived with the shame of that forever.
And uses light to heal her body.
Magic light, of course. She's got throat cancer because she used to be a singer, so Kevin Sorbo invented a magic light that is curing her cancer. And it's cool. But it makes her sensitive to normal light for weeks at a time, he says. Like, it's nothing. Like, just so offhandedly. Yeah, I zap her throat with this blue light for 20 minutes, you know, every once in a while, and then she can't go outside for weeks after that. So, wow, you've ruined her life then, from the sounds of it. Why is she living if this is what her life is?
Well, you gotta live.
That's true, you gotta live, And if you want to make wishes, they come in three forms: God, possible, and stupid. Those are the three wish categories that people make.
Well, that Delarice has decided on because she is the All-Father.
Of course, yeah. And I love that the stupid wishes are like, God, please help my mom find love again. God, please help my dad stop crying and not drinking so much. She goes, these are all stupid wishes. I'm putting these in the stupid pile. These kids are dumb and don't understand the horrors of life. Get used to it, kid. You're going to be crying when you're your dad's age, too. Like, you know, there's like a pile for God, which are only prayers that God can answer. And Olivia is pissed that her prayer ended up in the God pile. And she's like, my prayer is easy. We just have to find a husband for my mom. We don't need God for that. We just have to do it.
What the frick, Della? Like, let's get my mom some man meat, and he must love college football.
And luckily, I don't know, there's a guy who is like that. The substitute teacher. I do love how they introduced Mr. Brennan, the substitute teacher. All the kids are just outside playing at recess, and a man just approaches them and goes, hey, kids, I'm your new teacher. And they all go, okay, sure, that's cool. It's like, well, this man just approached you outside. He didn't stop you in the classroom. Why would he do it this way? Why wouldn't he just do it in the classroom as opposed to being like, follow me outside, children. No problem. Trust me.
Well, you got to deceive the kids a little bit. You can't come out right and tell them the truth, especially that their teacher is missing and is presumed dead.
Presumed to have a daughter who's got tuberculosis or whatever her daughter's deal is.
Yeah, so the teacher is Kevin Sorbo's sister.
Yeah.
This sister, the teacher, has a child that has a kidney that don't work too good.
That's it. What child is this? The one with the kidney that don't work.
Exactly.
Kevin,
so
Olivia
very nicely makes the plan to raise money for this child and their kidney.
Is that what happens? I missed that entirely.
Well, they do try to raise money so that their teacher can move closer to the children's hospital so she can be with the child while it dies of kidney failure.
I love that it's like, let's move the teacher closer. Well, you're going to raise enough money to buy a new house for that or pay for a hotel? What's this money going towards? How much money are you trying to raise?
I think $100,000 is raised.
Delarice, are you dying? Pfft, shoot, honey, we're all dying. Oof, rough. That's not a nice thing to say to an 8-year-old. They don't know what that means.
You got to tell them the truth. And then point at them and tell them specifically you are going to die.
You, child, you're going to die. Maybe soon. Maybe not for a long time, but maybe tomorrow. So death is always waiting for you, child.
Yeah, soon and for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to die.
You're going to spend more of your existence dead than alive, kid. How's that sound?
What? Well.
I kind of thought at this point that maybe Delarice was Kevin Sorbo's ex-wife, and she was just, like, living in the house, like, Phantom of the Opera style, and he didn't know she was in there or something like that. Obviously, we find out about the cancer stuff later, but I was much more excited about the idea of her being, like, this, I don't know, malevolent spirit that inhabits the house.
Yeah, I really thought there was going to be an interesting twist or something happening there. But this is just a straightforward tale of love.
I thought there'd be something interesting in this movie with a cast like that, but...
Yeah.
Turns out... what's up?
Well, Delarice is kind of fun sometimes. The way she talks to the kid is... you know, just straightforward and to the point.
And
but she can't really carry this movie because nothing's happening.
And she can't be in a scene and not sitting. So it's hard to, like, film a movie around someone who's always sitting unless you're Steven Seagal, in which case you can sit all the time in your movies and they make $1 million.
Exactly.
And
you know, not all movies have to be Star Wars. Not all movies have to have an Iron Man. I get that there's some slow, touching movies, like Christmas Oranges, but this movie is so bland, and the gumbo ain't good.
No, the gumbo ain't good in this one, that's for sure. Gumbo don't got it, that's for dang sure.
Yeah.
Mr. Brennan comes into the bakery, and Olivia, who's been, like, hyping up Mr. Brennan to her mom for days now, and hyping up what a great guy he is... that they're best friends, that she loves Mr. Brennan and she wants her mom to meet him. And then when he comes into the bakery, she goes, "Mr. Brennan, this is my mom." And Mr. Brennan goes, "Oh, hey, kid." Doesn't even know her name. Doesn't even know her name. Just, "Hey, kid, I don't know who you are." "Oh, yeah, I kind of recognize you from class." "Right, you're that kid." Right, okay.
You're that, I just got it on the tip of my tongue. "Oh, yeah, you're in my class that I teach."
"Yeah, hey, kid." And she goes, "Yeah, this is my best friend, Mr. Brennan." And he goes, "Yeah, that's right, kid."
Yeah, sport.
"Yeah, I'm your best friend. You're not my best friend, but I'm your best friend, that's for sure."
"Yeah, I go home and teabag my uncle. I have no idea who you are, kid."
What else happens? Kevin Sorbo macks on that Fokker. He gives her a mouthful of Sorbs. And then, like, Sorbo and the daughter make up at church, I guess. Yeah. Something.
K Sorbs apologizes to the mom a bunch of times for being a crappy human being.
Every scene he's apologizing.
Well, yeah, that's true. He has it in his contract that he'll never apologize.
No, God, no. And they went, like, after this movie, he was like, "I looked like a weak, limp-wristed libtard in this movie." With all the apology, a real man asks for forgiveness, not permission. And I'm not even asking for that. I'm just taking what's mine. This Fokker.
Yeah. And this is where he tells Olivia that he can't have kids.
Yeah.
And so his wife dumped him and got a new man and had a bunch of kids.
He had a mess of kids. Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess she wanted kids more than she wanted you. Yeah, yeah. I guess so.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for putting it like that.
Also hilarious that she's just like suckered some guy into giving her three kids. Like, she clearly just wants kids. Doesn't matter who it's with. Maybe it's with three different men. We don't know.
Also, your doctor, fix your dinger.
Right? Yeah. There must be a homeless man whose wrinkled old raisins you can reinflate. Just go for
it. Exactly. Like, all you need is air at that point.
Yeah.
And science does the rest.
Kev, stop being stupid. Wrap your lips around the mushroom cap of your dinger and blow and just reinflate those wrinkled raisins, pal. That's all it takes. You just got to blow straight up the middle of it, and then those things puff right up.
Oh, they puff so hard.
Oh.
It's an easy part. He could also not be taking off all of his condoms, because we know that he famously wears a bunch of condoms, like five at a time.
Yeah, he likes to soak, for sure. That's his whole thing. He's a soaking master, and so he gets that cap. He takes one of those keyboard cleaner compressed airs. He shoves the little red straw right up his urethra, and he reinflates those wrinkled old raisins he's got. And,
so it has to be a red straw?
Well, that's usually the color of the straw with the canisters.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right.
Yellow, maybe.
Hold those canisters upside down and spray your friends with them, and it'll give them frostbite. And it's always funny.
And then Della Reese gets her family back, which we didn't tell you about.
Yeah,
but it happened.
Yeah, she didn't have a family, then she got her family back. She was a real bag, and then she's not, and then her daughter...
Yeah, she sucked.
Yeah.
She was rich and famous, and she treated people like crap.
Yeah.
But she could sing good.
I guess. I mean, we kind of hear that, but there's no... nothing that proves that she could. All right. Is there anything else
Christmas
that happens?
Dinger.
This movie froze for me, like, right as Della Reese's daughter was singing as she approached the house. So I don't know what happens after that, but I assume nothing of importance happens after Della Reese is reunited.
No, not really. They raise a bunch of money for the kidney, or for the mom moving to Atlantic City to live out her days.
Yeah, to gamble, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. One of those two, they raised a bunch of money. Kevin Sorbo finally gets his nut and asks out, or gets invited to Christmas dinner, and he shows up and he stays the whole time.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, and they don't have any gumbo. And then the last shot is the scene of the town downtown, and it's covered in snow, but it is the fakest like CGI whatever they did. It just looks white. Like they smeared paint over the film or something.
Oh, I can't believe I missed that. Oh, I'm gonna have to go back and watch that, because I gotta see that great CGI.
Yeah, and then it ends, and then we find out this movie was entirely shot in Louisiana.
Wow, what a reveal.
Right? It was Louisiana the whole time.
I can't believe it. When does Dustin Hoffman show up? When does Senior Falker show up? That's what I need to know.
Yeah, to be continued, probably.
Was the third in that series called Baby Falkers? That can't be the correct. That can't be what that was called.
You shouldn't have said.
But it was. It was something like that. It might not have been Baby Falkers, but it was like something like that. Kid Falkers. Yeah. I can't remember, but it had some kind of name like that.
All right. Get a haircut, you know?
All right. Do your kids. Do this movie. Hey, how many oranges did you eat? Count them off.
Okay.
Let's see.
One.
Good.
Two. Three.
Keep going. Count in French.
Four. Uno.
No. Cinq.
Six.
Six.
Sept.
Eight. Huit.
Nine.
Neuf.
Ten.
Dix.
11.
Onze.
12.
Quatorze.
13.
Trente.
14.
Quatreve. Neuf.
16.
Huit.
17. I didn't make it.
Well, somebody was lying. He ate 17. That's impressive. You're officially in the lead. Congratulations. You are you're carrying the checkered flag right now. But I'll see you next week when I'm going to eat 72 oranges on your ass.
I really wanted to get to 20. I feel like I let myself down. I feel like I left Kevin Sorbo down. Certainly God.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you peel 3 oranges right now, and then during the Christmas chiz, you dome all 3 of them. You just cram them in. You can get to 20. I believe in you. You can get to 20. You can do this, Steve.
I gotta suffer to get to.
No, Steve, you can do this. You can eat 3 more oranges before you go to this expensive supper where you're definitely going to spend a lot of money and not enjoy your meal as much because you have 20 Christmas oranges in your belly.
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right.
I'm sorry. When I lock down, I lock down hard.
Yeah, you really do. That's true. Well, what did you think of Christmas Oranges?
I thought this movie needed more orphans and gruel and more Christmas oranges. What did you think of Christmas Oranges?
I like that we had one orphan for sure. Definitely one orphan, which was pretty cool and really scratched that itch for me. So,
yeah, at least we got it. Goody got it.
I just want to say congratulations on taking the lead with 29 Christmas oranges eaten. That's amazing stuff. I can't wait to challenge you again next week and take you down.
To 100 we go, and I'll see you there.
I'll see you in hell.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
We love you.
I'm Chisholm.
That's great.
Merry Christmas.
That's great.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, oranges.